FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, Jordan.
You know, it feels like a Monday, but it's not a Monday. Get a chance to honor those that have served. Thank you. From the bottom of all our hearts here at ESPN New Orleans. Welcome to June 1st. You know what June 1st is? Maddie Hudak, who joins us on Tuesdays, of course. You know what that is? June 1st?
Day
one of hurricane season. Yes. Welcome to the new 2021 hurricane season.
Yeah.
And this is, we were talking yesterday off the air, and you're getting used to the humidity.
Yeah.
So,
I went to school here. I just never spent a summer down here for good reason.
Well, welcome to hurricane season.
Thank you. Otherwise known as June 1st in
June
the
1st.
World.
And I think it ends somewhere in October. So, I mean, I remember Zeta Cat 3 hit as well in October. So we'll touch on that. No, actually, we're not. All you need to know is this. It's 14 named storms, 7 hurricanes, 3 major hurricanes. That's what they're predicting. Anna, I don't know if it's two N's.
There's
Anna?
Already a...
Well, it happened already. It was a little tropical thing that happened, so.
Okay.
Anyway, so, we'll keep that in mind. So, nothing like having to keep an eye on the tropics while everything else is going on. We have a ton to get into today. Coming up at 12:30, Rafael Esparza will join us. And Rafael, we'll go over. Do you think he has odds as who's the next stupid fan? That's going to be a topic next segment, to say the least. Maddie, I've sent you a video of the latest lack of intelligent human being to affect an NBA game just over the weekend. You know, since we last chatted with you on Friday, we had a water bottle thrown on towards Kyrie Irving's head. We've had a fan yesterday in Washington decide, I'm going to run out on the court, because that's cool. Got tackled by a security guy. I don't know what's going on. I'm at a complete loss. You did some psychology stuff, right?
The girls have gone wild. That's pretty much how I can sum it up. Maybe it's spillover from not being able to express themselves during the pandemic last year. Mm-hmm. And fans just have a lot of things to say and do that might not necessarily be within the confines of normal attendees at sports events.
Right.
But I've never understood the people that run across the field and what they expect to have happen other than to get body slammed without any padding on or anything like that.
I'm just confused as to what is going on with all of that, you know, and we can talk a little bit about that next segment as to where is this coming from. More importantly, how does the NBA stop this? You know, it's like I literally am watching this and part of me is going, and this is why maybe we should just be locked in our homes, because literally you can't control yourself or be responsible and enjoy an event. I just, again, it's the mentality. Now, I asked you a little bit about your psychology background, but I mean, think of this. What the first thing that pops in my head is they saw this happen. I'm going to be the idiot disorder. You know, there is that sort of culture of, well, it's my turn and I'm going to go at it. So a question that I want to throw out there, and we'll kind of dive into the next segment, is how do you stop this? Is part of this, yes, the league and what teams can do, but is severity of penalty, perhaps?
I was just going to say, there's a no-fly list for the TSA. You can't attend sport events anymore. If you throw things at the players and are jumping onto the field, there's a reason that the security guards come and tackle you. It's funny and it's a joke when they're drunk and, you know, disorderly, but you don't know what the intent is of that person. And that's, I mean, there's no place for that in a game like that. And so I don't see why those people shouldn't be legitimately banned from attending any type of sporting event in the future. And then that, to me, would be a deterrent, perhaps, to those who think it might be a good idea to just have their little stroll across the field. Or
Which is very interesting. But I'll ask out there, 800-998-1003, if you want to chat on Your thoughts on that? Because I have an idea, and I'll bring it up next segment. Rafael Esparza will join us there to talk a little bit about the playoffs. Obviously, hockey's still going on here as well. The baseball bracket is out for March Madness, so we'll definitely get into that. LSU does get in. They got to go all the way to
March Madness?
Or, yeah, baseball. The World Series, College World Series. So, what'd you call it? It's just World Series, right?
Well, now it's June.
Not May Madness, right? June. You know, that is sponsored, so. I mean, not sponsored, copyrighted.
What?
By the NCAA. March Madness.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, exactly. Anything to make a buck. So LSU is in. Louisiana Tech is hosting. We'll go through the brackets and touch a little bit on that as well. But really, Maddie, I got to start with this. There's three videos right now that are, I think, making a lot of noise right now.
Okay.
Have you seen the three videos I'm referring to? You know, bears? Have you seen the bear video?
I have not.
You have not seen the bear video? There's a bear on the fence. It's going after the dogs. Oh, here comes Mama Bear!
Brave
yes,
woman. Oh,
the woman just pushes a grizzly bear off the fence, grabs the dog, and it goes in.
Does she want to play special teams for the New Orleans Saints?
No, this is what I'm talking about. Seriously, she just went right after the bear,
a full-grown bear that was perched atop her fence.
Yes.
She just ran at him full force and pushed him off.
Yes, exactly. Yes,
that was one of the more iconic things. I've
I mean,
seen
that's incredible, isn't it? I mean, that was absolutely awesome. That is viral, by the way, as I'm sure you could imagine. That went viral here as well. The other thing I want to get into is the folks that are, I wouldn't say like holier than thou, but you know, just the protectors of the game that have little check marks and cover professional sports. Mm-hmm. I like to call them the protector of the game, the ones that decide what's classy and what's not.
In reality television, we refer to it as the powers that be. Yeah,
right. Well, I'm just talking about people that got upset by this next video that we're going to play in audio. And this is Jericho, and I forgot who it is that he's fighting. This is AEW's, like, pay-per-view of the weekend.
Okay.
Okay. Now, you do know that AEW, which is WWE's, like, competition, right, mm-hmm. is owned by the Jaguars owner, like the Jacksonville Jaguars owner. His son, Tony Khan, is... They're Vince McMahon. You know, he does promos. He's the owner. I'll fire you. All this other stuff. So during the pay-per-view, of course, one of their big stars, the ring, that's old news. We're going through the bowels of the stadium. Oh, look,
through
it's Urban Meyer's office. So there we go. We break a table. Urban Meyer, Charlie Strong, by the way. Hey, Charlie, how's it going? Can I have a football? Gives the football to Jericho. Beams the said wrestler about 2 feet away. Beams him again. By the way, that football hurts. Then he asks Urban, "Mike, you using that laptop?" Urban gives him the laptop. Says, "Thanks." Oh, over his shoulder and back of the head. Oh, the small of the back, and there you go.
It's like if Kevin Costner on draft day did steroids and a lot of other things. And then...
Well, look, I chuckled just now. I'm like, wow. Catching an NFL football when somebody's got a little pepper on it? It hurts. I mean, that football was thrown about 2 feet away.
And it was not thrown
lightly.
To be caught.
No, it was to inflict pain. And obviously that is not a real working laptop with Urban Meyer's playbook. The amount of people that got bent out of shape on, the Jags have stooped to a new low. Urban Meyer doesn't know what he's getting into. This is a bad look for Jacksonville. Again, the blue check mark people that cover the league and let us know what's classy or not. I'm like,
what?
They've stooped the new. There were 1 in 15 last year.
What is a promo video where they jokingly destroy equipment?
There were 1 in 15 last year.
They just want to get sponsored by Limp Bizkit. Break stuff.
They have such a lack of fan base that they literally, in the upper deck, put a gargantuan banner of their logo that covers basically most of the field, like in the upper deck.
I mean,
so all they basically sell is the lower seats because they can't get real bodies in it.
Wasn't George Kittle like in a lot of WWE promos?
Which one's that?
Like, I'm confused what the issue is.
I'm
actually trying to just like.
But again, no, it's the. I can't believe the NFL is allowing what?
Allowing what?
Allowing
this is so
what?
Like clutching pearls over absolutely over
that's
a joke.
That's not his real office. It's a stunt. It's funny. Aside from the fact that I'm telling you what,
have they seen Cooper Manning's Manning Hour where they do a bunch of absurd? I mean, maybe it's not as destruction to property, but like,
you know what this partly is? Goes in the comments. Where's Tebow?
I was just going to say.
This is still about the Tebow thing. This is still, they're waiting for Tim. And you know what? I'm here for it. Yes. Now to tick off the other crowd, have Tim Tebow in the next wrestling. Because by the way, if you've ever seen him, he probably looks like a wrestler a lot more than anybody else in that locker room.
Two things about the Tim Tebow thing.
Yes.
One, he's been the best PR that Taysom Hill could get in a long time because everyone's kind of stopped worrying about him and kind of focused on Tim Tebow being the worst version of him. After it came out that they're going to try to put him in a Taysom Hill type role, that's actually more of the defense of Taysom Hill I've seen in a long time. The second part being, I don't think Trevor Lawrence necessarily needs the distraction, but I kind of brought this up when we talked about the Tim Tebow signing and how that kind of takes, you know, maybe the leadership pressure aspect mm-hmm. out of it. But also, there's no eyes on like what, you know, what's Trevor Lawrence going to do? Is he going to be able to lead this team, you know, to a better record? And not that mm-hmm. anyone doubts that, but man. They could really be doing whatever they want behind the scenes right now, and no one would care because they're all obsessed with Tim Tebow.
Right. Again, I'm at a loss that people would legitimately be upset that
I just
Urban Meyer was involved in a pay-per-view sort of thing. I'm
genuinely confused.
Again, there were 1 in 15. There's literally no fan base. Players have begged to leave that franchise.
Is the issue the joke? Is it the laptop? Do people
no,
have people getting
again,
hit by a
I
football
guess,
before?
I guess you're
in
not
the field?
Supposed to, you know, he's the head coach, you know. Stop it. I mean, like, seriously. I mean, the Jaguars have nothing going for him. And actually, isn't that one of the things that everyone was saying? When there was rumors that Urban Meyer could come to India, wow, it's going to turn around the fan base. And now all of a sudden, again, he goes to the Tebow thing. I don't know if he knows what he's getting into. I mean, you should have heard national stuff last week.
I think he does.
Because of the Tim Tebow.
Know what he's getting into.
Oh, that's what I'm getting at. This guy has proven in his career, whether you like him or not, that he has a pretty good grasp on planning. And it's something I brought up last week. From Sean to Bill to any of these coaches that win at a high level, they control and are 7 steps ahead of everything. Mm-hmm. You think Urban Meyer doesn't? I mean, he's laughing at this. And he thinks, thank you.
That's what I'm saying.
Focus on this. And you know what he's done cleverly? I've woken up the last, 4 or 5 mornings. So get up, right? Because OTAs have started. Justin Fields, when will he start? Mac Jones, when will he take, the starting role in New England? Carson Wentz, who has the most pressure? We're going to talk about that later. I played the bites last week. Have you heard anything about Trevor Lawrence?
That's what I'm saying. It is the best PR for not throwing Trevor Lawrence under the radar, right. But there, like I said, there's no need for him to have alleviated pressure, in my opinion, but at the same time, there's no pressure. Mm-hmm. No one is talking about that. And like, a lot of people are of the opinion that any, you know, press is good press, good mm-hmm. or bad. And I think Urban Meyer has kind of like leaned very keenly into that idea. And you almost wish, or you almost think, you know, if there is anything to the Tim Tebow signing other than the fact of it being a massive distraction, mm-hmm. it does make you wonder at this point if there is any actual legitimate basis to signing him other than I just kind of want to start a firestorm and divert the attention. Bill Parcells would talk about kind of the art of creating a crisis. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's kind of what he's done with this Tim Tebow thing. And it's taken all of the pressure off the 1-15 record, off of Trevor Lawrence, off of anything that they're doing. And mm-hmm. I think it's low key brilliant.
Interesting. And here's the other video, because I've been joking about this for a while, that apparently every other team and player in the NFL is getting ready for the upcoming season, except the New Orleans Saints. Where's my videos? Amy just found it. Dr. Reef on Instagram. There's Alvin Kamara.
Oh.
There he is on a balance board. And the doctor has a, I don't know, what is that, a 20-pound medicine ball? And he's practicing stiff arms, Maddie. Oh, yeah, look at his stiff arms. Let's see it again. It's awesome. 11 seconds of repeat.
Derrick Henry next season?
Look at him. Look. Well, here comes. Here's our, oh, that's a quarterback. Linebacker. Get that DN out of the way. Watch out. There's a safety. Let's do it again. Look, it is impressive. Have you ever been on a balance board like that? It's not easy to stay on balance. So it's,
anything this man does, you know, on moving equipment. But what sticks out to me there is every other video and you know, what we kind of see with him juggling all those different things, those always seem to me to be a focus on, like, agility and balance. That, to me, signified power.
Right.
I mean, I'm curious.
Power in your arms,
but
I've never
seen him train like that before. So
it's a new season, which leads us to one of our questions of the day, which we'll tackle in our number two. You and I discussed this yesterday. It's, of course, he is one of the obvious ones, but as we get closer to the mandatory minicamp, it's going to be the first time this new ensemble is going to get together and the team will start to form. Gasol, Fine, and Dandy, everybody's doing it on their own. Talk about collectively. Who needs to have a big year this year? Not good. I'm talking about big year this year. In terms of, we're talking about this individual, December, January, is having, hey, this guy has been one of the best players on this team. And I'm going to go a little off the beaten path, and I can't wait to hear what you have to say. So we'll tackle that in the 1 o'clock hour. But that's your show. Marlon will join us at 2:15. Raphael, 12:30, 12:45. Raphael, 12:30, Wilson Alexander, he will join us at 12:30 to talk about LSU going over to the Oregon Regional, as the brackets have been set. So we'll do all that and more. We'll come back, we'll touch on the NBA playoffs in particular, yes, the games, but it's been overshadowed. It's been overshadowed, I think, to an extent, right? You got 3 games tonight. We'll go over those as well. Gus Katigo, Matty Hudak with you. It's the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
Truman, Doris Day, Red China, Johnny Ray, South Pacific, Walter Winchell, Joe DiMaggio.
Summer heat is approaching, and so are the Red Hot Deals.
Red Hot Deals.
At Craig LeBlanc Toyota in Houma. Shop online at CraigLeBlancToyota.com or at the store. Great offers like the sporty 21 Toyota Camry or the Corolla with class-leading gas mileage and complimentary 2-year maintenance. Or the stylish and dependable 2021 RAV4 and Highlander. Stop by Craig LeBlanc Toyota and make this a summer to remember with your new Toyota. Only at your #1 volume dealer in Houma. Craig LeBlanc Toyota.
Hey, New Orleans, this is Nate Osborne, head coach of the NOLA Gold, your Major League Rugby team.
Hey, New Orleans, it's Carl Mayer of your NOLA Gold rugby team. The 2021 Major League Rugby season is here.
In the Shrine on Airline, now called the Gold Mine.
The Gold Mine is COVID conscious, so you can spread out around the stadium to enjoy the hard-hitting, non-stop action of Major League Rugby, filled with world-class players.
And mate, the best part is that our season tickets are about the same price as one game in other pro sports. Check us out at NOLAGoldRugby.com or just call 50 Rugby.
Offshore workers are among the most important members of the Gulf Coast workforce. When a person working offshore or on a vessel is injured, the effects on their family can be devastating. At the King Firm, we are proud to have experience with these types of cases and make it a priority to see that our clients receive just compensation and are treated fairly. If you've been injured, don't play the game of claims with the insurance companies. Ring the King at 504-909-KING or 888-241-8766.
Every pro on your team wants to work with a Husqvarna, and who can blame them? Husqvarna products are powerful, ergonomic, and packed with innovation. Now we're making it easier than ever to put Husqvarna in their hands with our cost-saving fleet program, where commercial customers can save up to 20% on new equipment purchases. If you want more Husqvarna in their hands and more money in your pocket, get all your new equipment through the Husqvarna fleet program. Visit Southern Trailer Works in Schriever, between Home and Thibodeau, or online at SouthernTrailerWorks.com.
That man's got some stones.
Believe me, he is no wuss.
His legend lives on.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
Welcome back, Sports Hangover. So, Matty, I'm a little confused right now. We've been locked up. We've had rules, masks, do this, do that. Haven't felt normal for a while. Last 2-3 weeks. Come on back. Welcome back. Everything's starting to look good. Everything looks fine. And then you have the playoffs that start.
Mm-hmm.
And in 1 week's time, right? What is it? 7 days? I mean, seriously, wasn't it like 2 weekends or a weekend ago that this started to happen? And then during the week, things started to happen. Ja Morant's dad's getting, you know, stuff. Trae Young is getting spit on by a fan in the second row. It's on and on. So this weekend, Kyrie Irving, now again, he stomped on the Celtic logo after the win. Oh boy, that's disrespectful. I guess this 21-year-old fan,
he's the one that
21, mind you, he knows all about respect. Chugs a bottled water at Kyrie Irving, and it misses him. And most of the comments are, "What is wrong with you?" Now, he did get arrested for intent to injure with a bodily harm, like a deadly weapon or whatever. And other people go, "So water bottle." I'm like, dude, he's pretty high, far away. If that thing is remotely full and it pops you in the eye and he misses a game, what are you going to say? It's just a water bottle? First off, why are you throwing
something? I was just going to say, it could be a water bottle. It could be a pencil. What right do you have to do that? And like, I mean, are we just going to conveniently forget about, like, T.O. celebrating on the Dallas Cowboys logo? Like, players do that. And there's just this sense of almost entitlement from fans now that, like, we're back in the stadium and, like, this is our stadium now type thing. And I don't know what it is, but it's just, it's ugly. And I don't want to get too far into the weeds, but, you know, I think a lot of people have felt a little more empowered to puff their chest out and act the way that they want. And that's kind of spilling over onto these types of things. But I don't know. It dehumanizes the players, too, in a way where you're like, you know, what's a water bottle? You know, OK, well, imagine being that guy that's trying to win a playoff game and all of a sudden they get whacked in the head by a water bottle by a fan. Someone gets spit on. I don't understand when, you know, players became caricatures of themselves and not actual human beings. And I mean, unless these people spit on their close family and friends, I'm just really finding it hard to understand where this is all coming from. I mean, yeah, we were cooped up last year. Go to a boxing gym. Go paintballing. Go throw something at a wall. Go get your anger and frustration out another way. But don't go take it out on sports players who have, you know, largely provided the only source of escapism last year in particular. And it's like really one of those things that's kind of allowed fans to actually get back and feel like they're having fun again for the first time in a year and a half.
Right.
And to do that, it's just, I really grinds my gears.
So what I don't understand more than anything else is kind of along the lines of what you're saying is that Falcon fans, the Falcons step on the Florida Lee at the 50-yard line. You know what I want to hear after the game? Cam, I can't wait till we go. Let the players take care of it. I can boo all I want. Probably going to be some language. But I can't throw something at somebody. Like, my brain doesn't work like that. Here's Kyrie after the game. And again, I've never seen anything like this. Where in 7 to 8 days, Maddie, it's almost every game that there's something going on. Here's Kyrie.
Underlying racism and just treating people like they're in a human zoo. You know, throwing stuff at people, saying things. You know, there's a certain point where it just gets to be too much. So, you know, I called it out. I just wanted to keep it strictly basketball. And then you just see that people just feel very entitled out here. You know, they pay for the tickets. Great. I'm grateful that they're coming in to watch a great performance. But it's just, you know, we're not at the theater. We're not throwing tomatoes and other random stuff at the people that are performing. You know, it's too much.
That's, you know, where I said I didn't want to get too much into the weeds with this earlier. But, yeah, no, sure, I'll go out and say it. Our country has become a lot more open about being racist the last couple of years. I don't think that they've become more racist. I think that they've become more empowered to show that. And I think back to the Chiefs-Texans that opened up the 2020 season? Mm-hmm. And they had that moment on the field where they joined hands and celebrated a moment of coming together to kind of, you know, after everything that happened with George Floyd that summer and everything like that, it was a moment of unity. And the fans started booing at them. And I've never been, like, more disgusted to be a football fan in my life than that moment. And
one thing I've said, especially when all this happened last year, and we went through the shutdown, and then we went through politics being involved in sports and it's never going back. So if for those people that, and I understand the sentiment, I do, that it is an entertainment thing. I turn on the TV to get away from that. I do understand that. I've always looked at things, I think a good journalist or a good psychiatrist or whatever, where's that person coming from? When you deal with people, I may not understand. And again, a lot of this is with my wife, you know, to her things that she's had in her past or your friends or whatever, I may not have dealt with. So understanding and hearing where that comes from, I think helps you understand it and deal with it. And what I mean by that is, I may not understand or may not agree, right? Kneeling and doing all that. But if somebody literally, like again, I went, when this really hit the fan, was the Drew Brees Saints thing.
Yep.
I was taken aback from this aspect of, you know this guy, he's been in your locker room, but Matt, it wasn't one player, it wasn't two players, it was, I called it a mutiny. I mean, like,
it wasn't
the entire
even
team.
Just the team.
Well, it's not even that. And Malcolm Jenkins is in tears. Mm-hmm. Now, again, you can come from the, this guy's playing acting, he's got the job on, see, I hear you. But if somebody is brought to tears or he has an emotional response or connection, okay, is it that bad to just, okay, so tell me why you feel that way. Right? Because you play that with what Kyrie just said. And look, man, let's be honest. There's a lot of players sort of feel that way. Ja Morant's dad should be able to go to the game, get normal basketball ribbing, and not hear the phrase, I'm going to put a nickel in your back so you can dance. I mean, I just, now again, can you fix stupid? It is what it is. Some people can handle that better. We're going to get into it later today along these lines about what happened in the French Open.
I was going to bring it to that. So.
Because we talk about this all the time. We want access when we get to these reports. But what if, because mental health has absolutely taken a bigger center stage here as well. And if a player, again, I can look at this and be like, Kyrie, stop, dude, it's a water bottle. What is yours? Were you stomping on this? You know, now. The guy literally this weekend, again, reiterated, I'm not even playing for basketball. There's bigger things in basketball. So it clearly affects him. I don't have to agree with him, but he has the right to feel that way. And I have the right to either turn it off or listen to it. Where there's no common ground is throwing an object at him.
Right.
Because I may feel a certain way. Don't throw an object at me. You know what I'm saying? That's the problem where we are right now in this country.
Yep.
Where there's no, Maddie, you might agree on one way, I might agree on another. Last Tuesday was a great example. You had a stance, I had a stance, John called in and he gave me my stance. But we can argue, we can discuss, we can bring the debates, and then at the end of the day, understand that we're still people not make it personal. I'm at a loss. Yesterday, now, this fan that ran onto the court in Washington just tried to, like, I don't know, touch the net and dunk. Or something before he got tackled.
But who knows?
But I don't know.
Who
Russell
knows?
Westbrook after.
I didn't even see it. I was in the back. But when I was walking out, I didn't know what happened. But, you know, as fans, my advice is just watch the game, enjoy it. Obviously, COVID, nobody's kind of been at games or been at arenas, but we got to make sure we be mindful of this is our job. You know, this is not a game or some shit. You can just kind of just do whatever you want to do and run around and come do whatever. This is our job. Like, we take our job very seriously. It may look fun, entertaining, but it is our job and we take it very seriously. So I think as fans, just my advice is just to be watch the game, enjoy it, and sit back, whatever, and that's it.
Here's what I'll say. Sports are a privilege when you're a fan. They are not a right. Mm-hmm. And so these players and what they think and what they say, it's paramount. And you say you want to separate politics from sports. Tell that to the players that are human beings and that live through this every single day. You know, to go back to the Malcolm Jenkins thing, something that really stuck with me was one of his comments where he said, you know, you all root for me when I have my helmet on, but what about when I'm on the street in a hoodie? So politics transcend the game of sports for the players themselves as well. And like you said, you can agree to disagree. I'm of a little stronger opinion that if you're, you know, especially if you're a white person, you really can't and shouldn't have, you know, a definitive opinion on those types of things. But I feel like this country has lost its way in empathy and just trying to understand, even if you don't.
I said last week I'm trying to think of the right word, and I was thinking about it in the backyard looking at my son and thinking of what the world he's growing up in, and we've lost the respect for life.
Yep.
For life.
Yep.
And we don't, it's like, we'll sit there yesterday and tweet a GIF or a picture, but do you really respect life? And what I mean by that is, we all sit there when our family members are ill. All of a sudden, we pray, or all of a sudden, hey, give us support. But when you can respect life, do you all the time? And a lot of time that may mean not agreeing, but being respectful. And a lot of times, more often though, I think that just means just being a nice person. I'm at a loss at this. Pouring popcorn on somebody, throwing water bottles on somebody, spitting on somebody.
Like I said.
Because they shot a three? What does that say about you, how you view life? Because then now you're scaring me.
Yep.
Because you're dating somebody, or you're raising a child, or you're working at a place, and I want to be able to work somewhere where I feel safe. And if that's how you view life, then you don't respect mine. And I want to go home, see my wife, and hug my kid.
Yep. And you know, that players might have to dunk on the net. Those players on the field or the court have no idea if that person's coming.
I'm just at a loss. I'd love to get y'all's responses on this.
If you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all. Keep it simple.
Wilson Alexander is next. We'll touch on the NCAA baseball brackets that have been released on the Sports Hangover in ESPN New Orleans.
Spirits has one of the largest and most diverse wine and spirit selections in the city. At 2025 St. Charles Avenue, Avenue Wine Spirits has some of the rarest bourbons, wines, and Japanese whiskeys, like 18-year-old Yamasaki. Avenue Wine and Spirits sells wine by the glass, and they've got free delivery for orders over $20. Dial 504-522-3864. Never show up empty-handed to a watch party again. Avenue Wine and Spirits, 2025 St. Charles Avenue.
When you are sick, you want to be close to home. World-class medicine doesn't require a trip to the city because the best care is close to home at Thibodeau Regional. We're continually adding new services, and our team of physicians has grown to more than 250.
That's a lot of doctors.
More doctors, more services, treating more conditions.
And keeping more families healthy.
World-class medicine, right here, close to home at Thibodeau Regional.
Goodyear knows the importance of keeping momentum as you head down the stretch. Momentum starts with movement. It's pulled from the air like a contested rebound. Momentum builds with steals and fast breaks, and is proven by deep threes as the shot clock expires. Momentum is how we change the game. And now it's time to discover where it can take us. Goodyear, more driven.
If you've got an insurance question, you could talk to a park ranger, but the only quotes they'd probably give you would be about the beauty of a fallen leaf or ripples in a pond, not the kind that could save you money on your policies. Or you could talk to your local Geico agent, who's an expert navigator of the insurance landscape. They could use their expertise to guide you on ways to save hundreds on your policies, while leaving it up to your park ranger to save the wilderness and any endangered picnic baskets. Go online to geico.com/local to find a Geico agent near you.
It's 106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes. It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses. Hit it.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
Just a few topics to get into here with Mr. Wilson Alexander. Covers LSU baseball. He's been joining us on Tuesdays. As always, man, appreciate the time, sir. You can be followed over on Twitter at @WHAlexander_. Gus Kattengau, Matty Hudak with you. Wilson, good afternoon. How are you?
Hey, Gus. Hey, Matty. How are y'all doing?
Doing well. Last Tuesday, you remember what we ended our conversation with about Paul Maneri? I was like, so I don't know if it'd be a fire. Could it be a retirement? And you kind of said that, you know, you wouldn't, I'm not going to say be surprised, but you kind of intimated that, you know, look, I mean, it's not that no one's talked about this during the season. That said, were you surprised at the news on Friday?
No, I was not. You know, we knew this was coming. based on things that we'd been hearing and things and that sort of thing. Already that it was a very distinct possibility that it was coming at least, and we were prepared for that. A little bit surprised that it happened Friday and not, you know, after their last game or something like that. Mm-hmm. But certainly not surprised that he came to that decision. He'd just been in so much pain with his neck over the last couple of years, and you know, he just seemed to, you know, he thinks that, you know, this is it for him, and it makes sense to hang him up now. He just hopefully he can get some relief with the pain in his neck, even though that's not the, you know, he's not incapacitated or, you know, anything like that. He just you know, he's hoping that reducing the amount of stress in his life will help with that pain in his neck, and that he can he seems really at peace with it. So
I was listening to Matt Moscone after our show here, and he touched on kind of along those lines too, that this was something not only discussed or talked about during the season, but even some in the administration were suggesting, hey, announce in the beginning, kind of do like a farewell tour, things of that nature. But that's kind of where it went. Kind of want to look at that from two perspectives, because A, did that sort of mean that, hey, he viewed this season a certain way and kind of knew that maybe it was going to be?
Well, he said that for several months he had been thinking about it. And, you know, he said, of course, in this press conference there that, you know, that he didn't come to that decision until Thursday. But that, you know, but that it had been on his mind for several months, and that he and Karen, his wife, had been thinking about it and kind of talking. Certainly been a possibility for a while. I think they knew that it could be the last year. But that, you know, maybe they didn't really come to that decision until, you know, a little bit later in the year. But also another, I mean, sort of elements of that, you know, last year having lost the whole season with the pandemic, or pretty much an entire season anyway, after 17 games, you know, had a deeper appreciation for it, and sort of understood what his life would look like without it. Mm-hmm. After having gone through that, and I just lost my train of thought. I apologize for that. But anyway, I hope that answers the question.
Yeah, no, it does. Because I was going to say it's two part, right? I'm like, how are you looking into the season and how you go about it and make, you know, those decisions? And at the same time, you probably in the background have, I guess, ideas of where you want to go moving forward if you're already starting to think this through, right? I mean, I guess from a university standpoint, you're sitting here going, okay, if this is going to happen, I'm probably already making my short list and things of that nature.
Yeah, from the university perspective, absolutely. Yeah, he, you know, that was also part of the decision for announcing it when he did and not at the end of the season. There's a lot of stuff coming up changing in college athletics with the one-time transfer rule. The MLB draft isn't going to be until July. It's normally already happened, I think. Things of that nature, it'll help to have a coach in place before all that stuff starts to happen. And Paul, knowing that he sort of realized, you know, I'm going to make this decision and I should go ahead and do this now so that LSU can start that process, if it hasn't already, and have a coach in place so that this program is on solid ground, you know, for the future. Of course, LSU won't be able to, like, officially make a hire until after whoever it is that they want, you know, mm-hmm. It's going to be a minute because all the people they would be targeting are still playing right now. So it's going to take some time, but at least give them sort of a head start on that search.
One of those teams, no doubt a lot of people will keep an eye on up there in Florida. Wilson, I mean, a lot of people Friday was bringing up, you know, O'Donnell's name as a possible replacement. Did you think that would be the lead-on favorite, I guess?
God, I mean, it's tough to say at this point. You know, hard to say. I really don't know. Nothing I can sort of report with certainty at this time or anything on that. That name has definitely come up on the rumor mill in a couple different places. You've seen it, like on D1 Baseball and that sort of thing as a possibility. That would certainly be a big hire, kind of an interesting one, seeing as he did beat Maneri and beat LSU for a national championship in 2017. I think that would certainly be someone worth considering. You know, he's had a good career at Florida and has had a lot of success.
Gators hosting in Gainesville, South Florida, Miami, South Alabama, the four teams along with Florida in that one. Tigers do get in, and look, I don't know, maybe it's the heartstrings thing, because you and I talked on last Tuesday, they had a chance, and it was kind of, you know, maybe 50-50 or something, but they're in. So they go all the way to Eugene, pretty nice travel over there. Central Connecticut, Gonzaga, and LSU, the teams over there at Oregon. What do you think of this regional?
It's a tough regional. Oregon, of course, being a number 14 overall seed, it's not like you're having to go play Tennessee or something like that. But the fact that Gonzaga is in there as well makes this pretty tough. Gonzaga had a chance to host itself. It was one of the 20 predetermined sites a while ago when the NCAA released that list that they would be picking from. Gonzaga was on there, and it had a strong case to host. It was kind of surprising to some people that they didn't get the hosting opportunity. So they were really, really strong two seed. And I don't know much about Central Connecticut State, with all due respect to that program. I just don't know much about them. But having those two at the top of the Oregon and Gonzaga, that's going to be tough to get through. Gonzaga's got a really strong pitcher. Who knows when exactly they throw him, but he had Maneri kind of gets reminded of Lewis Coleman when he's watched him, because of his deliveries kind of across the body like that. If anyone remembers Lewis Coleman back from 2009, but he threw a no-hitter earlier this year. This is a really tough regional. It's going to be hard for LSU to get out of it, but whoever does get out of it, it's clearly a good team.
Yeah, and I think, you know, it's interesting hearing a lot of LSU players yesterday say, look, we just want an opportunity. We want to be able to go do that and get a second chance here as well. Here's a question that probably makes sense. Going through what the SEC sort of is in the teams that you have to play, I guess that gets you ready for something like this where – in regional play, look, I mean, you are facing good teams. They're there for a reason.
Yeah, Maneri said pretty much something exactly along those lines yesterday, that he was like, these are good teams, but they're no better than what we've already faced. LSU had the number four toughest schedule in the country, according to WarrenNolan.com. And all throughout the year, it was like within the top four because of all the teams that it faced in the SEC. I mean, you look back on it now, it played Mississippi State, Tennessee, Vanderbilt 3 weeks in a row to open the SEC slate. Of course, that's why it started 1-8. Those three teams were three of the top four seeds in the SEC tournament. And they're all ranked, I think, within the top like six or seven in the country. I think they're all national seeds. LSU has faced the toughest competition in the country this year, because most of the toughest competition is in the SEC. Of course, with some exceptions, Arizona, Texas, those sorts of teams. But LSU's not going to, even though Gonzaga and Oregon's tough, they're not any tougher than what LSU's already played this season.
What would you say the odds that they can make a little noise here? I know you mentioned Gonzaga being a team that should have or could have was looking at maybe hosting as well, and Oregon's a pretty good team as well. So do you think they have a chance to make a little noise, or? Is it just, I just don't know, right? But this season, I think the Tigers have talent and are capable of doing it. Can you put it together for a couple of games?
Yeah, exactly. That's all it's going to come down to. I mean, we've seen LSU flash a couple times this year and show some good pieces. It obviously helps to have Landon Marceau. He'll pitch game one, because they really want to get out, to a good start. And he had one of his best starts of the year against Georgia in the SEC tournament last week. He'll be on full rest and ready to go, and he's one of the best pitchers really in college baseball. Can they make some noise? Yeah, of course they can. I mean, once you get in, you got a clean slate. All bets are off. Fresno State, four seed, went and won the national championship 1 year. Vanderbilt finished sixth in the SEC. It went and won a championship 1 year. Stony Brook comes through LSU and knocks off LSU 1 year. That's what's kind of fun about college baseball. Basketball is a similar in that way. You can have these teams come from out of nowhere and win. And LSU, even though LSU is never going to come out of nowhere because it's LSU and it's one of the premier college baseball programs in the country, but even if with a bad season, it's completely possible that they could start a run here. They have some good pieces. They're not one of the best-looking teams in the country, top to bottom, but you never know. It could happen.
Wilson, final thing for you. Who do you think goes Friday at 9 o'clock?
It'll be Landon. Yeah, Paul said that this morning on another radio show that he was on. And that was sort of expected because they really need to come out and win this first game so they don't have to turn back around and play in the morning in an elimination game. They'll be giving Gonzaga their best shot, and that's starting with Landon, who's had a phenomenal year and deserves to get that ball when they need him. You know, when they need a really need a win, he'll be their guy.
Makes sense, doesn't it? I mean, getting that first game, man, is so key, no doubt about it.
Absolutely, absolutely. They need to get off to a good start and put themselves in the best position they can to try to win this thing. They got to go a long way to do it, but at least the weather's supposed to be really nice out there.
So. Do you know when the team's leaving?
Yes, it leaves tomorrow morning, pretty early. They'll be getting into Oregon at around noon Pacific time and practicing at a junior college field that Eddie Smith, who has some connections out there from his career, found for them to practice on. And they'll be doing that on, I guess, Wednesday and Thursday maybe, or maybe Thursdays at the Oregon field itself, actually. Yeah, but they'll be getting in and start getting acclimated, getting their body clocks used to that Pacific time.
Yeah, no doubt. It's kind of figured. We've seen teams do that, including Sean Payton and Saints, get out there early and get used to that. It's a little different, that's for sure. At WH Alexander _ is a way to follow Wilson Alexander. It's always been appreciated when you give us some time on Tuesdays, bud.
You're welcome, and thanks for having me. Y'all have a great day.
For sure. Covers the Tigers, Maddie, for the Advocates and the Picayune. So, it's regional play. Nobody's easy, you know? I mean,
certainly not in the Big Easy.
Rafael Esparza coming up next. Don't go anywhere. Hour one is brought to you by the King Firm. If you get in an accident, don't play the game of claims. 909 KING. That's all you gotta do. Give them a buzz. Sports Hangover, ESPN in New Orleans. Well, I've had enough. I can't put up with anymore.
It's Mike DeTillia for Neil Small Engine Incorporated. Listen up. That's what we did at Gravely. We listened to lawn professionals. Then we brought the professional performance home. Gravely residential zero-turn mowers show the neighborhood that you mean business. Zero turns that are as tough as nails, operator comfort beyond compare. We've had 100 years of professional advice to perfect cutting performance. Just drop the deck, put the neighbors on notice. Gravely, driven from within. At Neil Small Engine Incorporated, locations in Houma, LaRose, and Thibodeau.
Offshore workers are among the most important members of the Gulf Coast workforce. When a person working offshore or on a vessel is injured, the effects on their family can be devastating. At the King Firm, we are proud to have experience with these types of cases and make it a priority to see that our clients receive just compensation and are treated fairly. If you've been injured, don't play the game of claims with the insurance companies. Ring the King at 504-909-KING or 888-241-8766.
Time is money. Don't waste both running around looking for filters, batteries, and belts and related items. Fleet Supply Warehouse delivers. Fleet Supply offers daily scheduled delivery, including Bayou Lafourche, New Orleans, Morgan City, New Iberia, Lafayette, Thibodeau, Baton Rouge, the North Shore, plus the River Parishes too. Automotive, lawn equipment, agricultural, marine, or industrial. Fleet Supply Warehouse, 985-868-0430. Venture Boulevard, Houma.
Good morning, Private!
Good morning, Sergeant!
I mean, seriously, what a pleasant morning. The sun is shining and the birds are chirping.
You seem to be in a good mood today.
Astute observation, Private! Astute!
He's probably happy because he found out Honey Nut Cheerios can help lower cholesterol as part of a heart-healthy diet.
So, in lieu of the obstacle course today, I propose a nice meditative nature walk. Does that sound delightful to everyone?
Yes, Drill Sergeant!
Have a change of heart with Honey Nut Cheerios. Learn more about Honey Nut Cheerios by picking up a box at your local store.
Oh, big talker, ain't it?
The man that likes to talk.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1003.com.
Hear the music, I'm at it. Coming up next hour, which Saints player you think needs to have a big year? And I don't mean like just statistically. I'm not saying statistics don't tell you, but you get what I'm getting at, Maddie? Like, this player needs to...
I'm a stats person. I always know that stats, they tell a story, but, they're nothing without context, so I'm with you on that one. It's more of the impact and how that affects the team's success, really.
I'm going to go off the beaten path with my two. One on offense, one on defense. So we'll discuss that a little bit here next hour. Open to the phone lines. We'll talk NBA playoffs, get your takes on that as well. What do you think of Naomi Osaka? We'll talk on that as well. Maddie has something she wants to get off her chest that I think is going to be interesting to hear for you, because she might give you a better perspective as to what's going on. And how do you feel about people with media and athletes and dealing with some of that as well? The water bottles, the spitting, all of that. Rafael, as far as I can promise you one thing, I will never chunk a piece of sushi at you. My dog probably will bite you, though, when he sees you. First off, how are you feeling, sir? I know you had a little something last week. How are you?
Just laying around at doing absolutely nothing. Today's goal is to do 1,000 steps, so that's my goal today.
There you go. If people don't know, you had a little heart thing last week, so yeah, it's no laughing matter. No. There's a reason that it's actually a good thing that Rafael's hanging out with us, so I do appreciate that, sir. Did you watch any of the playoffs this weekend, and what's your take with all of the stuff, dude, that's happened? From spitting to water bottle throwing to popcorn to, you know, things being said. I mean, are you shocked that this is all like in a 7-8 day span?
No, because that's what happens. I mean, we had no fans. Now the fans are in there. Probably fans drinking maybe a little bit more at stadiums just because they're excited to be there. So I think if you want to stop all this, stop serving alcohol at games or have limits. I never understood why baseball games, they would keep on serving beer after the seventh inning, maybe stop serving alcohol at halftime of football games and basketball games. So it didn't really shock me. I think it's not going to be like this forever. I think what they're showing on TV with handcuffs, charges, fines, and all that, people are going to start realizing that, hey, what am I going to tell my parents as they're watching me on TV being handcuffed because I was stupid at a game? So I think these trends will probably start fading away.
One thing, Maddie, that I think no doubt is going to happen is the upcoming sports in the fall are watching this, and you know they're having discussions this week on, okay, well, what are we going to do? Rafael, Maddie and I are going to discuss this a little bit more in detail next hour. What do you think is a great way to stop this? Like, look, we've seen arenas ban you, okay, but I'm thinking, like, you know, couple months in jail, like something severe enough where I'm like, oh my gosh, you know, I don't want to do this. Like, what do you think?
I mean, I think the alcohol thing is also
but they've already did that, right? Because they were throwing bottles of beer and stuff like that. So now, yes, third quarter, the sales stop, you know, and all this other stuff. So they've done sort of that. Rafael, do you think other leagues and teams may do, I guess, additional measures?
I don't think jail time is going to probably do that much, because now you're probably getting street cred. Sad to say, but you know what's going to stop this and hurt this? How about a big fine? How about like 10K or something like that, where you might have to do payments right next to your mortgage payment or your rent payment because you just got a huge fine from Boston or Saints Arena or whatever. Give them a huge fine, because once that comes out in public, that AKA Rafael Esparza that ran on to the Saints field because he was laughing so hard that the Falcons are beating them by 4 touchdowns in the first quarter. And I get arrested and they notify the public that I had to pay a $20,000 fine or a $50,000 fine. People won't be doing that stuff.
You're right. Money talks. And you know, a lot of these players, a lot of these people do end up getting held in jail. I mean, the Eagles have a literal holding cell in their stadium, but I think that's a great
point.
Which
ought to tell you a lot about that fan base when you have a holding cell.
But I was going to say, I don't know how much, you know, there's the legal stuff, and, you know, classifying this probably as like assault gets a little muddy in the sense of actual jail time. But considering it's, you know, we have no right to be at a stadium or attend these games. It's a privilege and it's a private venue. I absolutely think that, you know, there could be something to be said about a fine. And Rafael, I think you're exactly right that it's like, you know, in California when they got rid of plastic bags and they started charging people 10 cents, that wasn't enough. So they upped it to 25 cents and then they upped it to $1. And then by then people thought, hey, maybe I should stop, but, you know, purchasing these bags. Yeah. So, yeah, if you slap a fan with a fine, that's probably more of a deterrent than anything else. Absolutely.
Hit it in the wallet. That's for sure. Rafael, we'll see what happened. Hopefully this week is a little bit better. But again, it's crazy. The NBA playoffs themselves, though, let's just kind of go through what you're thinking. Washington won yesterday. It's still up 3-1. Joel Embiid, knee soreness. Are you worried at all, especially with Ben Simmons, 25% from the free throw line in the series?
Where'd Ben Simmons go to college? Oh, yeah, I forgot. But yeah, I'm not worried for that. Even if Embiid misses one game, I mean, they're still going to win the series. I don't think it's that bad of an injury where it's a torn MCL or meniscus or something. I would be shocked if it's anything that maybe a knee strained. He might miss the first game. I think if you're any team that's worried, you got to be the Lakers if you're the most worried team that's been playing right now, because you have no AD. You have no pretty much besides your bench is doing nothing. I think you're the only team that's worried right now in the NBA. Are the Lakers. And I want to say thank you to the NBA, because for a guy that has to set his alarm for every 2 hours to get up and do stuff, I have something to watch on TV all night long. So yeah. Thank you, NBA. I got 4 games tomorrow. Bring it.
Yeah, no doubt about it. In one of those 4 games, Knicks in Atlanta. Atlanta leads the series 3-1. Clint Capella just flat out going boss mode here, going, we're going to go to your place. We're going to beat you and send you on vacation. And, of course, that scene is disrespectful. Atlanta's look good, man. Do you think they close out the Knicks?
I think they do, and every sports book that I have talked to are biting their nails for the Atlanta Hawks. There's a lot of big tickets. We're talking 200-1, 100-1 for the Atlanta Hawks to win it all. There's a lot of big tickets for bettors that did, for some odd reason thought that the Atlanta Hawks were the truth, and maybe we're seeing it right now. So every sports book would love to see the Knicks come back and win this series or somebody knock off Atlanta. But right now, I think the Atlanta and the Bucks are the hottest two teams in the East.
Thanks.
I was just going to say, you know, Drew Holiday spoke on the eve of the postseason. He thought Milwaukee was getting disrespected. He's looked incredible. They closed out Miami in a sweep 4-0. And right now, if Embiid now has to battle knee soreness, I know Atlanta's a nice story to the Knicks, but right now it looks like Milwaukee's finals mount. I mean, like, just the way they're playing, you know? I mean, they look like the best team in the East right now through 4 games.
Come on, Embiid. If I was getting paid Embiid money, I would play tonight, and I just had something a little bit major, so he should play.
Utah, Memphis. Dude, the Grizzlies have battled. And look, I think if you're Utah, you like this test, but you've also seen the last 2 wins. Donovan Mitchell's absolutely been key. He's awesome, Spider.
I like this series, and I like Utah, because I look at teams just in case L.A. Get past this Phoenix. I'm looking at teams that could knock off the Lakers. I really don't want to see the Lakers win it all again. Mm-hmm. So that Utah team is one of those teams that I think that can knock off the Lakers, because they're so deep. And with Donovan Mitchell playing, why did he not play in game one? Still boggles my mind that he did not play in game one. But yeah, Utah look really, really good lately.
Clippers in Dallas. How surprised have you been about this series?
I thought Dallas was in control. I thought they were going to win the series, but I guess a little neck pain from Luka, another baby injury. Come on, neck pain, really? I got to stand up to go to the bathroom just 20 minutes. But I like the Clippers. What they've looked shown on the road, they've been tough. PG-13 finally playing some playoff basketball. Jeez.
Denver-Portland tied 2-2, and as you mentioned, Phoenix and L.A. tied 2-2. Who says the West isn't competitive? Everything's tied 2-2. And look, the Grizzlies, I mean, they've been battling over there as well. But Portland, Denver, Phoenix, and L.A., do you think the Suns get the win tonight?
I think the Suns do get the win. And I emailed every Portland Blazer player that I know if they can spell defense, and not one of them came back to be able to spell defense. So if you like points, bet the over 226, because that team, Portland, does not play defense at all. They win games, but they don't play defense. So over 220. This total should be 256, not 226.
All right, you know what? The most important thing to happen this weekend as we close out with Rafael Esparza, Maddie, is this. When will Tim Tebow be in an AEW pay-per-view? I love the Urban Meyer thing, the holier-than-thou NFL reporters are all bent out of shape. I love it. What did you think of it? And will Tim Tebow be involved in the next one?
I heard Urban Meyer requested to be on that because he's trying to get people to like him in the NFL, not being so serious that he's coming in there. He asked to do all that with the AEW. So I thought it brought in a different side of Urban Meyer. There's no way Tim Tebow would do that for AEW. But I thought for sure you were going to talk about the Chicago Cubs. They have not lost a game since my operation. So yeah. I'm going back under the knife just so I can see another World Series.
Dude, they played really well. I know. I didn't want to speak it into, you know, the existence that it goes the other way. But, Rafael, we are honestly happy and glad that you join us today, dude. Feel better. Get to what? You said 1,000 steps today. Is that your goal?
Yeah.
1,000 steps?
Yeah, I should get it by just answering the front door when Jordan brings me my lunch because I'm still waiting.
Still waiting for that lunch. Thank you, man. We'll talk to you at the end of the week, sir.
Take it easy, guys. Have a great week.
And that puts a wrap to hour number one. It's been brought to you by the King Firm. Don't play the game of claims with insurance companies. If you've been injured in an accident, ring the King. 504-909-KING. Open phone lines all next hour. Maddie's ready to go. We're going to talk some Saints, some different players. We'll talk about Osaka. We'll talk about the playoffs. What should the league do? Or the NFL? Coming up in the fall, what do you think of all this fan behavior? Hour two next on ESPN New Orleans.
Who doesn't want instant gratification? If you're looking for satisfaction, there's no need to wait. With Credit Karma Money, you could win cash reimbursements for debit card purchases. Credit Karma Money is a brand new checking account where you can